morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our service this morning. And if there's visitors in our midst, you're also heartily welcome to worship with us. Jūs zināt, Ola zavīda oftats. Aklēvēks vēl vīdās uz stāvotni vēcija. What else in doubt? Fandils Marijas dēngvī un ovantmūl. En vi dænken on vort vi måtten down, at der vort zul vi down, right til mjørken til dem ovenmåls, til tog dem ovenmåls dash kommen. En vand vi doen dænken, en vi dænken on vog vi on sal, na right mjørken, dan dænk ik, vi zullen flæk ida dag right zanen. Og der tjent så vi han tve mål, en en jord, hvor vi dår til zidzaten, dat vi Reid mjørken til ovenmål stash, og nan har vi ovenmål, tve mål det jo er. Sagt han sådan godt, at svært, når ikke hvor vi dot zælen, hvor fjørken vi dot zælen down in ovenmål holm, og hvor dot sagt han stod vi zælen reid zælen dot tau. En for del smarjes, hvor jeg lægge ind det for tak, så jeg til læsen fra den 1. Korinther, det 11. kapitel, og jeg var først 28, but 29 læsen. Dot sagt han, Dor ved en lot, jeder mensch sig selvst unger sieten, en dan dort braut eten, en von dort kuffel drinken. Wels wer so eten en drinken deit, dort hei Christus seinen Körper en sein Blut nicht achten deit, dei bringt dort derch dort gerecht über sich. En wenn wir doen denken, wat Paulus hier in de Korinther heeft geschreven, dat is ernstlich. Het is ganz ab ernst, dat wir dort zullen, ons dort zullen bedenken. En voor het eerste Port van Dels Maris, wo ik proeven op Deutsch en dan op het tweede Port op Engels. Aber eher wir anfangen met onze Andacht, weil wir noch onze Halb der 19. Gebet. Ons groot en herrlicher Gott van Dels Maris, kom wie. En wie denken van deel, als wie naar de ovenmolstash gaan, denken wie aan wat er is, wat wie hier aan denken. En dat er dien bloot, en dien charpa, om kriet zijn wie werkelijk zeilig geworden. En dat zegt ons klaar dat wie zelden door aan denken, wie zelden door aan ons gedenknis houden. Dat doet wie dat niet vergeten, wat u voor ons hier donen haast. We lezen wat wie nust willen van God weten, en dan kiemst u naar de eerd, naar deze eerd, als een mens, en sterf zo'n kriets voor ons. En wanneer we doen denken, denken we, zou we zo'n bils zeer dankbaar zijn. En doen denken we van deel. En Jezus zie in de nomen. Amen. We waren twijfelijk aan.
Hoog geloofd zij onze God. De mazaas van het piemental. Some Father come.
finsteres Wesen, mein ich mächtig worden ist, und ich will genesen. Keinen hat ich in der Welt, der mich konnte schätzen. Gott hat sich zu mir gesellt und stand an der Spitze, dass mein Feind auch wer es war, mich nicht musste drücken, auch von meinem Haupt kein Haar auf sein Wissen zecken. So bei war mein treuer Herr, die auf ihn vertrauen, dass er wird mich auch lassen schauen. Seine Gnade fernerhin diesen Tag und künftig ihm soll auch mein Herz und Sinn dienen Gott.
Nummer 494, wacht auf, ihr Christen, Leute. Nummer 494.
Wacht auf, ihr Christen, Leute, steigt auf und schmeckt euch schon. Christenschar vom Lebens Bach zu trinken, stellt würdiglich euch dar. Wohl oft, du Christen zahle, gehen ins Vaters Haus zum Lammes Abendmahl. Zuvor nach aus, das schwarze Kleid der Sünden bei meiner selben Schuld. Lass geistlich arm dich finden, fast gläubig Jesu hold. Schick Christlich dich zum Rennen auf sein geladenes Fest. Lass deine Lampen brennen und gürt die Lenden fest. Gebrauch der kurzen Stunden, nimm ja die Zeit in Acht. Sonst wirst du überwinden, bet und halt geistlich wach. Ihr Vater hat zum Male schon alles zugeschickt und ruft, komm her zum Saale, doch aber der Bräutigam's Bruder sei, der Bräutigam.
So when we hear on unser Tags, wir denken, oder wenn wir nur noch checken, was sagt uns dort hier, was wir sollen tun? Und ich glaube, dort ist wichtig, dass jeder einer nur sich selbst checkt, und das, was dort hier sagt, wir sollen uns selbst untersuchen, oder was dort sagt, ist, wir sollen, von der ersten Tag wird wir sein, wir sollen im Spiel checken und sein, wer wir sind. Wo do wir Dinge? Sei wir dicht an dem Herrn, oder habe ich dem Herrn du hängen, wo ihr loten und ans Leben dort jetzt noch einmal verab. Wo schauft dort? Dort sagt, wir sollen uns untersuchen. Oder wir sollen uns selbst betecken. Und dann sollen wir dort Braut essen und von dort Kuffel trinken, von dem Wein trinken. Aber warum sollen wir dort daunen? Dort sagt uns, wenn wir ein bisschen zurückkicken, in das erste Kapitel von Korinther, der elfte Kapitel, bleibe. Und der 24. Vers, dort redet von, wo Jesus selbst sagt, wir sollen dort Braut nehmen an sein Gedächtnis, dort denken, was er haft muss, der ich merken für uns. Und dann an der 25. Vers, der redet von dort Wien. Und da war ich ein bisschen von reden an meine zweite Port von unserer Andacht. Aber das sagt uns, wir sollen uns selbst betecken, zum sein, dass wir reicht sind für Gott und für andere Menschen. Und wenn wir daran denken, dann denken wir an 2. Korinther, der 13. Kapitel, Vers 5, da sagt dort Wahrer, und Paulus, der in sein zweiter Brief zu den Korinther, sagt da Wahrer, dass die Menschen sollen sich selbst betecken. Aber er sagt, nimmt dort noch ein Bett wieder, und dann sagt er, wenn ihr seht uns selbst, als ihr wirklich an dem Glauben seid, glaub ihr wirklich an das Jesus, was gestorben ist für andere Sünden, sagt er. Und dann prüft ihr uns selbst. Und dann fragt er diese Frau, weit ihr nicht, dass ihr ein Kind Gottes seid? Weit ihr doch nicht von uns selbst? Und dann sagt er, ey, ihr kommt zu das Abendmahlstisch. Und der 1. Korinther sagt er, wir sollen uns prüfen, sollen checken, wer wir sind. Und dann 2. Korinther sagt er zu den Korinther, sie sollen sich selbst freuen, dass sie Kinder Gottes sind. Wer sie sind. Und wenn wir daran denken, wenn ich um Abendmahl denke, dann denke ich, fragen wir uns, was Jesus für uns getan hat. Dann denke ich, wo einer da noch das Jesus schämt, oder wo schafft er? Dann denke ich, wo er und Christ starb für meine sind. Und sein Blut vergoten wir für meine sind. Weil wir denken, fürchten an, wo Jesus muss ausholen am Kreuz. Und dort wir, schrecklich, wo er muss ausholen. Aber viele Menschen werden am Kreuz genährt. Nicht bloß Jesus, andere auch. Aber warum Jesus dort so schwer fällt, wir will jene sind, ob sich selbst nehmen. Und nicht bloß jene sind, aber die sind von der ganzen Welt. Alle Menschen. Und das, warum einem dort so schwer fällt. Hier wir Gott allein, ohne Sünd, am Kreuz genährt, mit unserer Sünd auf sich selbst und abgegoten. Und wenn wir daran denken, und dann wir in den Abendmahlstisch kommen, dann glaube ich, sei wir dort wirklich wichtig ist. Aber was meint das so reicht, um reich sein mit Gott und reich sein mit anderen Menschen? In Matthäus, der 22. Kapitel, lesen wir. Und da redet er von Leib. Und Jesus sagt, dass wir sollen Gott leben. Mit uns Hort, mit uns Seelen, mit uns Verstand. Das meint, mit dem ganzen Körper. Leibt Gott. Und dann sagt er, das ist die erste Gebot. Leibt Gott. Die erste Gebot. Und dann sagt er, der zweite Gebot des Charakters ist, dass einer soll sie nur so live haben als sich selbst. Fragen, wenn wir denken, so wie reicht mit Gott, für Gott, wo stehen wir für Gott, denken wir an all die Dinge, was wir nicht sollen tun und haben wir die getan. Haben wir gestohlen, haben wir gelernt, haben wir, was der Charakter so getan. Aber dort ist nicht einmal die ganze Geschichte. Haben wir uns nur bei Leib gehört? Wie sollen wir uns dort freuen? Haben wir uns nur bei Leib gehört? Haben wir uns nur bei Leib von dir? Haben wir uns Gott Leib? Leib wie arm. Es hat Erste an uns Leben. Und das ist, was das meint. Es hat Erste an uns Leben. In Jakobus, der erste Kapitel, sagt uns dort, dass jemanden aber auch daunen, was dort wird sagt. Wir sind bloß hier in Rieg bloß nicht tau. Wir können hören, was dort wird gesagt, aber wir machen noch daunen. Und wenn wir das an Jakobus lesen, da redet er von Gottes daunen. Da redet er von Gottes Dinge daunen. Und wenn wir wieder gehen in der vierte Kapitel, Vers 17 an Jakobus, sagt uns dort, dass wenn wir kein Gottes daunen, dann haben wir auch nicht in Glauben und dann sehen wir oder leben wir in der Sinn, wenn wir nicht Gottes daunen. Und so, wenn ich daran denke, und ich denke, wo die Dinge sind an uns Gottes Wort, was wir nicht sollen daunen, und das geht, wenn wir dort nicht daunen. Der Sinn, was da beschrieben ist, dass wir dort nicht sollen daunen. Aber dann denke ich auch an die Dinge, was wir nicht getan haben, was wir haben sollen daunen. Und wenn du Gott sagst, was wir haben sollen daunen, und wir seien dort ganz klar, und wir gehen da bloß vorbei, dort sagt das in der 17. Vers von Kapitel 5 von Jakobus, dort ist Sinn. Dort ist Sinn. Wenn wir zurückgehen nach dem zweiten Kapitel, redet Jakobus da noch wieder von. Dann sagt er, wenn du einer hast, was nicht kleiderhaft oder nicht ätenhaft, und wenn er dort bloß vorbei geht, hat er noch nicht viel vom Glauben, sagt er. Das ist ernst, dass wir daran denken. Das ist ernst, dass wir daran denken, dass wenn der Gott zu daunen ist, dann soll wir dort auch daunen. Wenn wir vor Gott kommen und wir machen uns reit zur Abendmahl, weil wir daran denken, dass wir viele Mal, was wir schien so nicht, die gute Dinge daunen, oder die gute Dinge daunen, was wir weiten wie sollen, dem Nächsten mehr zu haben. Wenn wir Leib haben für Gott und Leib haben für den Nächsten, dann wollen wir dem Nächsten noch mehr haben. Da redet an Matthäus, der 5. Kapitel von 22 bis 24, redet von, wo wir uns sollen unsere Brüder behandeln. Und wenn wir dann wollen, jenen den Bruder haben, wo wir dort sollen recht machen. Und wenn wir dort Geschenk bringen, der Gold bringen für Gott, dann sollen wir erst Dinge recht machen, mit uns Bruder, eher wie der Gold bringen. Und für uns das Wort von uns, von Gottes Wort, reden wir hier von, wenn wir an Abendmahl denken. Aber das ist mein Haus bloß Abendmahl. Das soll immer, wir sollen das immer tun. Nicht bloß, wenn wir zur Abendmahl kommen. In 22, bei 24, redet er und sagt, der wird sich eben sein Bruder äußert, wenn er keine Schuld hat gegen die. Der soll dort recht machen. Und das sagt hier, wenn der keine Schuld hat. Da sind Tiden, wenn wir uns euren über, wo ein Mensch steht. Wenn ein Mensch in Sinn lebt, ein anderer sündigt wie ein anderer, dann euert uns dort die Tiden. Aber wir sollen dem Euer nicht tachloten. Wir sollen dort vorbeigehen. Und das sagt uns hier, dass wenn uns Bruder keine Schuld hat, jenen uns und wie euren uns, dann hast du ab uns. Dann soll wir doch was mit daunen. Wenn ich denke, und zu Abendmahl kommen, und ich denke, vielleicht an die Dinge, die Menschen haben, die tun, ein zu den anderen, dann denke ich, dann sollen die Menschen vielleicht erst nur dem Nobel vorhin und merken, dort reicht. Oder wer immer dort dann ist, was die haben geschuldigt. The ones they have wronged. They should make it right. I think it should be done all the time, not just at the time of the Lord's Supper. Und wie kann alle von Menschen, die Dinge haben, die tun, einer zum anderen, die Leute dort Tag für Jahren, 30, 40 Jahre, 50 Jahre, dann wurden die alt. Dann wird einmal kämpft dort an. Dann bohrt die dort. Ich glaube, wenn du ein Wort hast, dort soll wie Proben erreicht zu merken. So Gott ist wieder ein Chen. Wenn wir in das Abendmahl kommen, dann soll wir denken an, was Jesus für uns getan hat. Auch was andere Menschen für uns getan haben. Und wir sollen Gott danken dadurch, dass andere auch uns mithalten. Wir sollen Gott danken, dass wir so eine Antwort uns mithalten, wenn wir Dinge haben, was uns helfen fehlt. Vielleicht, wenn wir was lesen im Neuen Testament, dann denken wir so, Lat nicht ganz reicht. Und dann checken wir Old Testament. Dann hilft uns dort, wenn wir im Old Testament lesen. Und dann hilft uns dort, mit dem dort besser verstehen im Neuen Testament. Und so ist die Bibel taub gestellt. So, dort Old Testament, dort hilft uns, die Dinge im Neuen Testament besser zu verstehen. Und wir denken an die Kinder Israel. Als die Sklaven wären in Ägypten. Und wo Gott entdor mit hab, und wo sie dann sollen Gott am Dank hellen, für was er getan hat für ent. Und ich wollte noch ein Bet wieder von reden in der zweiten Port. Aber ich glaube, es wichtig, dass wir denken an wo Gott uns hat mitgeholfen. Wenn wir denken, und dort sagt uns Gott klar, wenn wir in der Römerbrief kicken, dort tun wir nicht, was wir wollen von Gott weiten. Und dann kam er, Jesus Christus aus Gott. Und dann kam er nur diese Erde, und dann gab er sich selbst für uns. Und wenn wir daran denken, uns dort schrift in 1. Johannes auch davon, und wo groß seine Leib ist für uns hier war, sagt Gott, 1. Johannes Kapitel 4, schreibt dort von dort. Und wo er kam und wo seine Leib so groß wie für Menschen. Dort er kam, ohne dass wir ihn wollen. Und dort er erst Leib hat für uns. Und dort werden wir am Leib haben. Der 19. Vers, 1. Johannes Kapitel 4, Vers 19. Redet von Gottes Leib für uns. Und wenn wir daran denken, und wir denken, was er dann hat getan, durch dein Leben für Menschheit, für uns Menschheit, und was er uns dann erst Leben hat geholt, dann machen wir bloß dankbar sein und denken an, was er für uns getan hat. Ich habe wieder der zweite Part von unserem Andacht gegangen. Für jeder einer, was kann, und wir können beten, Tag und Nacht, wo immer wir sind, weder wir sitzen, oder wir stehen, oder wir knien uns an. Wir können immer zu Gott beten, er ist doch immer für uns. Aber er wird zu der zweiten Port gehen, können wir uns knien und beten an Jesus in den Namen. The Lord hear our prayers. Amen.
Take your blue books and turn to page 480. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Can we stand?
lead us, wash we need thy tender care, and thy pleasant pastors feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, who thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast love us
still. And so as we look at 1 Corinthians 11, what is it that Paul was trying to tell the Corinthians? And we have to back up from the verses that I read for opening scripture. And what we have to do is back up to probably verse 18, 17 or 18. And what Paul is doing is he's writing a letter to the Corinthians, and when they're gathering for the Lord's Supper, they're not doing it properly. And they're leaving behind the blessing. And Paul says there's something wrong. And while we may be very structured in our Lord's Supper when we get together, these people weren't at the time. And we have to remember, they were only first-generation Christians. They had just come from worshiping idols to worshiping Jesus. And so when we go to verse 18, and I'll read from verse 18, and it says, "For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that ye which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And so when we look at this portion of Scripture, it speaks about more than just the Lord's Supper. It speaks about them needing to get together to remember. And Paul reminds them in verse 24 and 25, and he reminds them of what they need to do, probably 24, 25, and 26. But he addresses what they are doing. He said, this is what you need to do, but this is what you are doing. And what he is saying in the first few verses, verse 18 to the end of 22, is he's telling them, this is what you shouldn't be doing, but you are. But he's addressing some of the things that they were doing that were wrong, but there was a deeper problem. Because when there's divisions, it means that, remember the first part of my service, I spoke about love. In min dietet, es nicht sehr gut, so ich weiß nicht, dass ihr dort gleich verstanden, oder verstanden können. But I spoke about love and how the commandment of Jesus is that we love God and then we love others. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment of Jesus. Love God, love others. But Paul is saying to the Corinthians in chapter 11, something is wrong. Because you're getting together and there's divisions. You're divided. And I kind of believe, he says in today's language, I kind of believe that. I partly believe it. He says, I kind of believe that there's divisions. And so he says, because there's divisions, there must also be heresies. And so he says, there's heresies too. You're divided, so because of that, there must be heresies. And then he says, when you come together for the Lord's Supper, you're not eating the Lord's Supper. This is not what you're doing. You're not doing this properly. He said, some of you are coming and you're just eating all the food, and the ones who come late don't get any. And in the church, in the Corinthian church, there were people who were very poor and some who were very rich. And Paulus sagte, you sollen warten, einer für den nächsten. Dann soll ihr dort taub, dort braut eten, im Gedenknis, was Jesus für ihn getan hat. Und dann soll ihr taub von dort Koffel, dort Wein trinken, im Gedenknis für dort Blut, was Jesus für uns vergoten hat. He says, it's not, you're not doing that. Some of you are eating all the food and then you're drinking all the wine. And then the poor one comes who has nothing to bring and you're not sharing. And he says, I don't praise you for this. It's not right. You can do this at home. You can eat at home, he says. And so it was a serious matter. And for us today, it's a serious matter. And we get together and we have little pieces of bread and we have wine or grape juice, whichever you prefer. And then we eat all the bread all together, and now with the little cups we have, we drink all the wine together at the same time. And we all wait for the other one. That's good. That's good. But have we addressed the other part? The divisions. The heresies. Have we addressed the part about Matthew chapter 5 when we're angry with our brother? Have we done that? It says without a cause, for no reason. You know, often I think when there's problems between people, it's because someone is envious of the other, or someone has said some little thing and the other person is so sensitive to things. You know, it says in God's word, God is always ready to forgive. And we are supposed to be always ready to forgive. Lot de kleine Dinge amol toch. Leave those little things alone. Someone says something we don't like, it's okay. Leave it alone. Be ready to forgive. It says that if a brother is angry with another without a cause, ohne Schuld, then we need to fix that before we come to communion. In fact, we should fix it before we go to bed. And I think each one of us, jeder ein von uns, der hat das nicht gewusst, wann wir Wort haben, je heute in dem Nächsten. Oder wir haben muss gönnen sein, you know, ich hau das nicht so down. Kannst du mich vergeben? It's hard to do that. We've all had to. And it's difficult. But Paul says there shouldn't be divisions. You know, I often say when Christians don't get along, there's only two reasons. Only two. One is people don't read their Bible, so they don't know what they should do. The other one is people read their Bible and refuse to do what it says. Only two reasons. That's all there is. Only two. Either you don't read to find out what you should do, or you read and you don't want to do it, so you twist it around and ignore it and put it aside. That's what happens. And we need to get past that. When we think of the Lord's Supper and we think of Jesus, and we read this in Luke chapter 22, where it speaks of the Lord's Supper, and it almost says the same thing as what Paul said here. Matthew 26 says almost the same thing. Mark chapter 14 speaks to it also. But when we think about what was happening, we need to think back to the Old Testament. And as I mentioned in my German part, often when we read something in the New Testament, we can't quite understand. But we can lend understanding or add understanding to it when we read in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, I think it's in Exodus, 2. Mose, the 12th Kapitel, Exodus 12. It speaks about the children of Israel. And God told the children of Israel through Moses what they should do to remember the Passover. The Passafest, glaube ich, hast du genannt. Remember the Passover. And so he told them how they were to keep the Passover. And when we look back at the Passover, we know that Jesus kept that with his disciples. And they got together and they gathered. And that's what they were doing when we read the words in Matthew and Luke and in Mark. That's exactly what they were doing. And the Passover feast was a feast that took about a week. In fact, exactly a week. And it was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Passover. And they got together and they would eat a lamb and they would drink wine. They had 4 cups of wine. And at Jesus' time, this is how it was done. They would also have herbs that they would eat, bitter herbs, which reminded them of what had happened in Egypt and how they had been in bondage. And now they were getting together long after they had been brought from the bondage of Egypt, and here Jesus was still keeping, with his disciples, was still keeping the Passover feast. And what they were trying to remember, or what they were remembering, is how God had told them to take a lamb and slaughter the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and on top of the door. And then the angel of death went over that house where the blood was on the side of the door, passed over. That's why Passover. That's why it's called the Passover feast. The angel of death passed over that house where the blood was on the doorpost and went to the house where there was no blood. And the eldest one in each house died, including the animals and the people. And so the children of Israel remembered what God had done, what he had told them to do. And they remembered how he had protected them by the blood on the doorpost from the angel of death. And they remembered how through his guidance, they were able to protect themselves when they did what he said. Derch wat God ent gesagt hat, starf dort keiner an a Hus. Derch dort blaut on a Zied and boven on a Dea. En nu hielden die dort hier am Denk. En nu neem Jezus van die dort lezen in Matthäus. Nu neem Jezus van dit koffel met wien. Een koffel, een van die drie, een van die vijf. Neem hij dit koffel en when we lezen, when we read, in Mark it says he divided it among the people, among the disciples. And so he took the wine and he divided it, and then they each took a sip. And he said, this is not to remember what happened in Egypt anymore. This is not to remember what happened in Egypt anymore. And in Matthew 26, we read from verse 26, and they were eating the Passover feast, and listen to what happened. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it. So Jesus took this loaf of bread, and he broke a piece off. First he prayed and blessed it, then he broke a piece off for each one. And he gave it to them. And then he said this, and the disciples must have wondered what was going on. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And so he changed the Passover at that moment from remembering what the children of Israel had been saved from in Egypt, and he changed the Passover to remembering what he was about to do as his body would be broken on the cross. And then it says he took the cup and he gave thanks also, and then he gave it to them and he said, "Drink all of this." And then he again changed this. And he said, "For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And so Jesus took and he changed the Passover. And he brought focus to himself and what he was going to do for the people. You see, the same way the children of Israel were saved by the blood on the doorpost, by this perfect lamb that they had chosen to slaughter, to sacrifice, and then to eat, Jesus now took his blood. And he too saves us from the angel of death. We do not have eternal death if we are a child of God. This blood of Jesus is now in our hearts, or through the blood of Jesus, we now have love in our hearts when that blood is applied to the sins that we have. And when Jesus died on the cross, all of the sins were forgiven. He took all the sins upon himself, but we have to repent of our sins before God in order to take part in that redemption. You know, in the Old Testament, it was so clear what was happening to those people in Israel, or in Egypt rather, how they were being delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians. When we ask forgiveness for our sins and we are forgiven of our sins, it is just as clear that we too are leaving the bondage of sin behind. And this Jesus is taking this sin upon himself, as he already has done. And we are then set free before the Lord. He has promises for us. In John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." He promised that, and then he carried it through. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, he speaks about delivering all of mankind from bondage, the bondage of sin, made free through his blood. In John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus says, "If I set you free, you will be free indeed." Totally free. In Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7, it speaks how we are redeemed by Jesus Christ. Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7. How we are redeemed through Jesus Christ. And it is so important that we understand this, and that Jesus alone is the one who saves us from the sin. How his death on the cross has done this. And it says in Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And it says here, sons, but you ladies, you are daughters of God when you have asked for forgiveness of your sin. And we must understand that only Jesus is able to do this. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it speaks more about a daughter of God. We read in Galatians chapter 2, right at the end, where Paul is speaking to Peter and he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness had come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And so Paul is saying to Peter in Galatians chapter 2, Jesus is the one who died for me. I am now dead, but Jesus makes me alive. He is the one that lives inside of me. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me, who loved me and gave himself for me. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, and it says, we are now the children of God through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Only through the sacrifice, only on the from the sacrifice on the cross, only through that can we be free of our sin. Only through that can we be delivered from bondage. Spiritually, just like the Israelites were delivered physically, we are delivered spiritually, and also physically in some instances. When we think about separating ourselves from evil and we think about how we are to prepare for the Lord's Supper, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 and 18, it tells us that we are to separate ourselves from evil. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, or rather 17 and 18. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He says that you are to separate yourself from the sin. It says a little farther back in verse 15, Christ and Belial, which is evil, cannot be of one accord. And so the evil part of our lives has to disappear. It's called sanctification, and God is the one who does that when we allow him to come into our hearts. One of my favorite portions of Scripture is from Romans chapter 5. And right at the end of Romans, actually the whole chapter is an amazing chapter to read. Raima kapitel 5, gons up in ang. And it speaks about sin, and it speaks about the law, and it speaks about the grace of God. And it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. De Gnod Gottes, as thou geraut. De Gnod Gottes, de nemte sind wahr. And here it says that we've been given this. And if we read the rest of chapters, probably Romans 3, 4, and 5, we understand very clearly that we are justified only by Jesus. And then that sin is taken from us. And that grace abounds. And sometimes I hear people say, well, if it's so easy, people will just go on sinning maybe, and the grace would just cover that, and everything would be okay. And when we're a child of Jesus Christ, we don't want to go on sinning. It's a totally separate subject. But chapter 6 adds to what is said in chapter 5. And I think they put this chapter in the wrong place, because the chapter 6, I think, should be farther down, because the next part of, or the first part of chapter 6 just reads right after verse 20 and 21 of chapter 5. Where it speaks about grace and righteousness and sin being taken away. And so here the answer to the question, well, will people just keep on sinning? And Paul knew what people would say. And he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So is this what we should say, he says? And then he answers his own question. God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Don't you know this, that when we're a child of Jesus Christ, we don't just sin just because we can. Living in sin is not right. He says, put the sin away. In 2 Corinthians, it said, distance yourself from the sin. Lay it aside. Put it away. When I think of coming before the Lord and taking part in the Lord's Supper, I think about how important it is to look at ourselves and to examine ourselves, as I mentioned in the first portion of our service. I think it's important to understand that we truly are children of Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in just doing the things we've always done, we don't think about these things. And there may be some here today who are not children of the Lord Jesus. And so what do I mean by that? I mean you have not confessed your sin before the Lord. That's what has to happen. And then when we think of that and we are children of the Lord, then we have to understand that we must be right with God. And while God has redeemed us from all our sin, we also must take responsibility for that sin that we have done. And there are times when we do things that we must ask forgiveness for, of people and of the Lord. In order to come to the Lord's Supper, we must have done this if we are to truly come with a clean conscience. In 1 Peter 3, verse 8, it tells us to do this. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. And it says, finally, be ye all of one mind. Remember what Paul said about divisions to the Corinthians? He said, get rid of those divisions. Everybody needs to look in the same direction, he said. Finally, be ye all of one mind, he says. And then he says this, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Pitiful means sympathetic or sympathetic to the other. And then it says, be ye courteous. Be courteous. You know, sometimes these little things, they offend us. And sometimes we should just say, it's okay. Be forgiving. When it thinks about courteous, when it speaks about courteous, it kind of lends to that forgiveness. And then it goes on. And Peter says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but rather blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. It says, contrariwise blessing, which means, but rather blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. He says, David, go to Johan, David, go to Tidenhan, Fakneon matit baizit, lachto tazid. Put the evil aside. Don't speak guile, don't speak evil. It says, let him eschew, that means let him put away evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That means let him look for peace and then chase after it. How do you chase after peace? It means when you do something wrong, you ask for forgiveness of your brother or sister. It means when someone does something wrong against you that you forgive. That's how you chase peace. That's how you look for peace and chase it. And then it says this, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Wow. The eyes and the ears are open when we seek peace and chase it. And his ears are listening to our prayers, but his face is against us when we do evil. And so it's a fairly weighty portion of Scripture. And it doesn't suggest, again, that we should have peace, that we should chase peace. It says, do this. Do this. When you have good days, don't let your tongue speak evil or your lips speak guile. Put the evil aside. Look for peace and chase after peace. And the blessing of the Lord will be with us. There's no better time to read this portion of Scripture than just before we take part in the Lord's Supper. These are things that we must do when we think of others, but these are things that we must do, seek peace with God, look for peace with God. Many times, people who know God aren't at peace with God, and there's a big difference. You can know God, but you must also be at peace with God. And how do you do that? You ask for forgiveness of your sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us, it tells us in 1 John. And then we are at peace with God. Let us close in prayer. Our great and gracious Lord, as we come before you at the close of our service and we think of the Lord's Supper, as we think of moving towards, I believe, here next Sunday, 7 days from now, as we think of moving towards the Lord's Supper and remembering what you have done for us, your sacrifice of yourself, your blood being spilled for our sins, your body being broken, God abandoning you on the cross, and you being totally alone. Lord, we give thanks and we remember. But Lord, also give us strength. Also give us knowledge on how we are to deal with things in our lives if there is something in the way of our peace with others and our peace with you. Lord, give us strength to then address the issues so that we truly can come with a clear conscience and a total peace in our hearts and truly receive the blessing that you have promised to us when we are at peace with you. Lord, we pray this for each one that is here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so for each one that is able at this time, you don't have to pray just here, but anywhere that you are, whether standing or sitting or lying down, at any time, day or night. But please let us pray, and let us kneel and pray for those that are able at this time. May the Lord hear our prayers. Amen.
Again, take the blue book, turn to page 487, Amazing Grace.
I have already come. Good morning. Just a reminder for next Sunday's communion service. The German service will be at 9, and for the English, it will be at 11 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. And so I'd just like to thank each and every one for coming. And just to remind you again to pray for each other, regardless of who you are, the younger for the elder and the older for the younger. And remember that each one of us has needs. And especially as we move towards communion, the Lord's Supper, we think of those things that at times we must address. And it can be difficult. I said something to an aunt of mine once, and I had to go and make it right. And it was a long way to her house. But then it was done. And then on the way home, it seemed so short. It seemed so good. And so when we have done something, at times, we must just deal with it. Let's just do that. And so I would encourage you. And so also, I would like to bless you at the close of our service with a benediction that we find and we take from Numbers 6, rather. The Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and the Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and the Lord give thee peace. And you may go in the name of the Lord. Amen. And have a good week. Thank you.